It's the Pete Callender Show. With more than 20 years as a reporter and radio host in North Carolina, Pete Callender is helping solve the world's problems one podcast at a time. Because he's a giver. And now, here's Pete.
So, what's going on? Welcome to the podcast. It is a rare Sunday new podcast, only because this will be kind of the final podcast as a standalone podcast enterprise. So for folks who may not be aware, if you are subscribed to the podcast, first off, thank you very much. Second off, we put out the announcement last week that News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT has hired me as their noon to three host beginning, well, tomorrow, July 26th. So if you want to download their app, it's WBT, just the name of the radio station. You can download their app at the iTunes store or on Google Play, or I guess that's the only place you can get your apps. Anyway, you can also go to WBT.com. You can listen to the live stream there. You can also get the podcast. So after the show is done, just like we used to do at previous radio stations I've worked, you go to the station for the live feed, and then after the show is over, we take all of the content, they strip out the commercial breaks, and then they post it up as the podcast itself. We are trying to figure out a way to maybe make this as seamless as possible for you, the subscriber, to make sure that you don't have to do any extra steps to resubscribe, essentially. But if we can't figure out the tech side of it, then we may have to do that. And by we, I mean, well, basically you. You'll have to resubscribe to the new podcast. But I have confidence that you will be able to make it so. So I just wanted to take this time to kind of go over some of the stuff that kind of went on, and you know, what we're kind of going through. And there, I know people have a lot of questions, and I'm actually going to start the show tomorrow with some sort of an ask me anything kind of a deal, where if you have questions about what's gone on, I am happy to answer them, or about anything else. And I, you know me, I don't usually do like an open line Friday kind of a deal, but it's a Monday, so I feel like I can do that. So first thing I need to do is to thank Christy for everything that she has put up with in making all of this happen. She is excited to go back to Charlotte, just as I am. And I mean, she's, you know, from Mint Hill, so she's from the Charlotte area. We have family there. We have lots of friends there. She has professional contact. So this is a good move for her as well. It's a bigger market. There's going to be more opportunity for her. But it is very stressful. It has been a very stressful 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks, I guess it's been now. And yeah, I mean, it's, and so she's put up with a lot. And so I love her for it. And, I appreciate her doing that. There's also, some sadness here, which it's kind of like, for folks who have been kind of following our story, we for a long time we were doing, a two city kind of a thing, where she was working in Charlotte and we sold our house down there, and she was working in, living in an apartment. And then, I was living in a, you know, little studio up here in Asheville, and I would go back on weekends. And eventually she left the job down in Charlotte and moved back up to Asheville, where she had lived before years ago after college. She had moved here. So she moved back up, reconnected with some friends. And then, of course, you know, COVID hits. I get laid off just as COVID hits. And at that point, then we're kind of locked down into an apartment. And it's been a very difficult year for everybody, obviously. I think people who are extroverts had a tougher time than people like me, who are totally fine talking to a wall for hours a day. Anyway, we then said, oh, you know what, let's launch the podcast. And we did that. And now everything started to, you know, kind of open back up. We're reconnecting with people. And then we start buying a house or building a house, and we literally moved in. And I think within 48 hours, WBT had offered me the job. And at that point, we had, you know, several decisions to make, and we still do. And so it's all a lot of moving parts and timing of things. But we've grown to love the people in Western North Carolina. We've made this our home, and we chose to make this our home. And folks have welcomed us into the community. They have supported us financially. the businesses here that have supported the show and they trusted me to be their ambassador. I can't ever repay them for that. And the patrons who financially supported the show to keep it going for the past year. So let me just run through, and I know it's going to take just a minute or two, but I feel like I need to, maybe I'll break it up over the course of the podcast here, but I feel like I need to thank every patron. And I know that there are a lot of patrons who have cycled off. They, you know, they donated earlier and then they, you know, financial situations change, or they said, I only wanted to, you know, give Pete a certain amount of money, and I broke it up over a course of, you know, 6 months or so. And I'm grateful for every little bit that everybody helped, because it, you know, it was one vital revenue stream that we were able to rely on, along with the selling of the advertising during the podcasts and then some of the fill-in work that I was able to do as well. So those were sort of the three revenue streams that made this all work. So folks like Ruth and Barbara, Jonathan, Theo, Janet, Lori, Gregory, James, Matt, Lisa, Jolene, Becky, and Eric and Ray and Lori, Rick, Ben, Tammy, Ann, Mark, and Thigpen, and Grant and David and Cindy, I thank you, and David and Dan and Joshua and Christian and Stephanie and Casey and Mary and Ted and Elizabeth and Kathleen and Matt and Jason. And that is about, one quarter of the patrons. And so, like I said, I could not have done the show without you. And I think it's kind of easy for folks to, to think that like you're one of only a couple people, but I mean, I think we have had consistently between 120 to 140 patrons all the time for over a year and at various, you know, levels and stuff. And so what the plan is now for the Patreon stuff, it's to dial that all back to just one level of support, and you'll get exclusive access to, you know, like live streams and stuff that we do on our Thursday nights. And those are a lot of fun. So if you want access to that, it's just going to be the one level now. There's not going to be multiple levels because I don't need to rely on the financial side of it, but I do want to have some sort of a screening process, and that's a good way to screen for, trolls, essentially people who aren't there for the right reasons. So, the Patreon will continue. And if you were in one of the higher tiers, I got to tell you this, if you were in one of the higher tiers, then you have to make sure to resubscribe at the five level, at the lowest level, because I eliminated those tiers, but now it's got you in the system as no tier. And have I told you recently how much how frustrated I get with the Patreon platform? It is true. Okay, so there's that. Also, thank you, Marlene, Jenny and Sean, Rhonda, Susan, Mike, Linda Grace, and the whole Conrad family, Elizabeth, JF, Leslie, Jim, Lisa, WC, KD, and David, Mark, Lair, Krista, Sam, and Dustin, and Deborah, Josh, Joseph, Luella, Timbo, and Richard, Bill, Robin, and Taylor, John, Billy, Lou, Grant, and Ashley, Sarah, and Barry, thank you, and Patrick, and Shan. I will hit the rest of you guys throughout the rest of the podcast here. So so we're excited to be going back to Charlotte. We're excited to be at BT. I've always loved BT, even after I got let go back in 2011. I'm getting old now when I can't keep all of the dates set straight in my mind. I think, yeah, so 2011, because we had just celebrated our one-year anniversary, Christy and I, our marriage anniversary. And so I got let go in 2011. And, I mean, despite that, I spent 12 years there. And it was very good to me. And so, as much as I was sad to be, ushered out, and it was the first time I had ever been let go from a radio job. It gave me experience. It gave me tons of experiences, and I never would have had those had I not been, afforded those opportunities at WBT by all of those people. It started with Randall Bloomquist, and he hired me. So I know, like, there are people who were not fans of Randall. But, I mean, the guy hired me. So I thought he made at least one right decision on that front. And but I learned a lot from the guys in the newsroom, John Stokes and Jim Barrell and Brad Schultz. There was a whole, I mean, we had a whole stable of reporters, Bill Trefiro, John Rep, Deborah Cipher, and Chris Van Dusen. I think I've got all the reports. And then I came in, I was just like cutting up tape and doing that sort of thing for people, for the news anchors and stuff. And then we had Mark Watkins, and he came in for a while, and Bill White, the programming director, Carl East, the assistant PD, and Rick Jackson, who was great to work for. And then, of course, you know, by the end of that time that I was there, the company started getting sold. And we went through several management changes, and I don't even know how many it's been through now. And that's sort of the state of the industry. And it was very volatile for a while. But we love Charlotte. I do love BT, and we're happy to be going back. But like I said, we're kind of sad as well. So it's a lot of mixed emotions. So there's that. On the podcast front, when I started the podcast, I did not know if it was going to work. And I said from the very beginning, it's a proof of concept, right? And I learned that from Shark Tank. And I learned that from Marcus Lemonis's The Prophet on MSNBC. CNBC. Not MSNBC, CNBC. And over the years, like, I've just been fascinated with people who go off and start their businesses, because it always seemed like such a hard thing to do. And don't get me wrong, once you get it going, it is hard. It's a lot of work. I worked a lot of hours every single day. Christy was actually concerned the amount of hours that I spent, especially at the beginning, because I'm cranking out a 1-hour podcast every single day, but I'm also trying to do all of the sort of back of house operations for starting up a business, which means, you know, everything from the accounting side to the tech side. You know, you got to do it all. And I really have a newfound understanding, and I always had respect for people who did this, launch their own companies and stuff, or build their own business. But now I get it a little bit more. You know, I understand it from a different perspective, because I've done it, and it's very risky. You're putting everything on the line every single day. I will tell you, it's a heck of a motivator to get out of bed every single morning. I never had a day over the last year and a half. I got up every morning at 5 a.m. and I never had a problem getting up, because there's sort of that, some people call it the hunger. I guess for me, it was more of the fear that if I don't do it, then the whole thing comes crashing down. I guess that's why I'm suited kind of for radio, because I'm always looking at deadlines like that. So I wasn't really confident that this thing was going to work. I didn't know. And a lot of people said, oh, it's going to work. Of course it's going to work. And I thank you if you were one of those people that told me over the last year and a half that you had that confidence in what I was doing that I apparently did not have myself. So I appreciate you loaning me that for a long enough period for me to see that, yes, this is actually, this is something that I can do all by myself, right? I can do this. Not going to get rich doing it, of course, and it is a lot of work, especially at the beginning, but I could do it. The concept got proven, and that was clear. And like, to this day, it's still, I'm humbled by the fact that so many people allowed me to try to chase this and then to be successful at it. Because I recognize there are very, very few people that are actually able to make money at a podcast and be able to live off of that revenue. It's very, very, very rare. And if you were part of that, I appreciate it. Because, we're one of the few examples of it, like literally in the world. We're one of the few examples of it. So let me take a moment here to thank some more patrons like Joseph, Dan, John, Robbie and Janet, Sarah and Frank, Karen, Manuel, Jeff and Nicole, Dr. Chris, Jim, EZ, Daniel, Lisa, and Eric, Loretta, Nancy, Stephen, David, Curtis, Sherry, Nick, Mark, Paul, Dennis, Terrence and Teresa, Keith, Yuri, Larry, David, that's not Larry David, that's Larry and a David, Patty, Trudy and Ron, Gene and Ben, Alan, I thank you all very much. Again, I've got a couple more to go through and I'll hit them in a bit. So what else here on the proof of concept? So the ability to do the podcast every single day, not only did it open doors like the door to WBT, but it also kept me involved in the current events every single day. And I can tell you that is really important. When I start tomorrow, yes, I haven't been doing podcasts for the last 3 days, but I've still been, you know, keeping up with the news. But I didn't lose a year. right? I didn't, and that is really important because that happened to me after 2011, and I went to work. I was out of work for a couple months, and then went to work for Spectrum News for like 6 months as a TV reporter, and then I went to Asheville and worked at the news talk station in Asheville, WWNC. And when that happened, I felt like I was starting off kind of behind. I felt, because I did, I had missed, even as a reporter, but when you're a TV reporter, you're covering very specific beats or stories. You literally don't have time to kind of take a step back and look at all of the pieces. That's a different job in the news operation, right? Those are producers and the news director and management and stuff. The reporters, they're going out, especially if you're on a beat, and I was supposed to be on like sort of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools beat. You get pretty focused on those areas. And especially at the national level, I'm not paying any attention to the national. But because I was doing the podcast for a year, I was. It kept me plugged in. And that then opens the door for BT. I do fill-in work, substitute hosting. They have this, they decide to go local for noon to three, which, I give them all the credit in the world for doing that. For Mike Schaefer is the programming director, and Marsha Landis is the new regional vice president there. And I met with them and we talked about this, and this is also kind of a proof of concept, because like literally nobody in 30 years knows how to run a radio programming lineup without Rush. Well, not nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, but like he was the tent pole for all of these radio stations, almost what, 1,000 of them or something, 700, 800, whatever it's been. There are so many radio stations. Like my entire career has been on a radio station with Rush Limbaugh, right? He has always been the presence in the middle of the day. And a lot of people don't even know, like in radio, in the industry, don't know what the station should sound like. And so I give BT all the credit in the world for deciding this is what we're going to be. And so, yes, I feel like I need to address this, that in case you aren't aware, like I'm not Rush Limbaugh. I can't be. There's only him. He was the only one. He built the entire industry, the model. He was exceptional at what he did. That's why he was so successful, right? And everyone is now kind of looking to chart their own course here, and we're going to give this a shot, and hopefully this is the we light a path for others. That's what I'm hoping, because I've always believed in local. I have always believed in local. I used to have conversations with people 20 years ago when what we called at the time the Death Stars were getting launched. These were the satellite radio stations. everyone was like, they're going to put radio out of business. And people thought that that was the case. And then remember, they gave like Howard Stern, hundreds of millions of dollars or something to do his show. And he moved off radio and people were like, oh, that's it. Radio's dead. And so I feel like, and then, along come podcasts and people are like, that's it. Radio's dead. And I don't look at that. Look at it like that, because I look at it like more content is always better. More content creators is better. Gives people more opportunity to create the content, but also audiences to find content that they like, and then let the market decide. Let the crowd decide what they prefer and what they don't. And you can get the national stuff all over the place. And the local stuff, though, is really where you can make the most impact, where you can make the change. Now, we're going to cover all sorts of national topics, just like I've always done. But there has to be the connection to the local, even if it's just local people commenting, opining, and reacting to national stuff, national topics, right? So, because like I can get on and say, this is what, is the thing, this is the issue, this is the truth or whatever. And then I can have everybody call in and say, no, Pete, you're a moron. That's not the case. And that's what I also love about talk radio, is the interaction with the callers. And there are a lot of Clubhouse, I think, is one that tries to mimic this. TV tries to do it. C-SPAN, for example. There are a lot of different platforms that try to imitate what talk radio does, but they can never do what talk radio does. Like this is, you're working without a net with live callers and such. Even podcasts, you can get kind of close, but it's not the same. There's a different kind of energy to it. And I can tell you as one who has done both. So I'm very excited about doing the live show again. There's just a different energy for it. And again, I'm really like I'm really excited to be a part of what WBT is trying to do with their lineup now. And so also I want to take a minute here and just finish up with my thanks for the remaining patrons like Juanita and Pamela and Steven, Jim and Robbie, Jan, Daryl, Daniel, Jocelyn, Gary, Trent, David, Nick, Catherine, Monica, Les, Mary, Eric, Peggy, Tavis, Kristen, Beth and Al, Kim, Eugene, Brian, and Jonathan. And that is all of the most recent patrons, I believe. Well, no, I take it back. I just remembered here. I've got to add in some of the latest folks. Because even after I announced that I was going to be ending this, yeah, we've actually picked up more patrons. So let me hang on a second. Jared is one of the new ones. James and Jeremy, let me see here. I think there were two more, one or two more. Michael, thank you. And I think that's it. All right, yeah. And Margaret and Alan, sorry. There you go. I think that's all of them now. And Kurt, sorry. So yeah, that's all of them. Kurt, Alan, Margaret, Michael, Jeremy, and Jared. They're all new arrivals over the last, 3 weeks or so. So thank you very much. I appreciate you guys becoming patrons. And so we'll still do the live streams. We're planning on doing that every Thursday. This Thursday might not happen because of the move, which is kind of what we're doing now. We just moved into this house. Like I said, we closed on it. And then within 48 hours, we got the offer from WBT. And so now I'm going down to work. And so now we're going to basically not unpack a lot of our boxes. We're just going to move them all down. So this has been, like I said, it's been very stressful. But we're going to make it happen. We're going to make it work. Because as I wrote to the patrons last week, that Christy and I, like most people, we're not exactly thrilled with change all the time, you know, but I also recognize that life is about changes. And I heard somebody say life is lived in the transitions. And I feel like that is entirely accurate. And Christy and I believe that God opens windows for us and doors close, windows open. But it's on us to kind of sit, be still, wait to feel where the breeze is coming from, and then we'll know where that window is, right? It's why we actually named, when we started the podcast and started the company up, we named it Open Window Media for this very reason. And so this feels like an open window for us. And so we're going to, I guess, jump out it. Is that how you do that? Maybe I should have named it Open Door. Anyway, no, I think a lot of other people have that. There's a lot of open doors. Although I have heard people say, well, when God closes a door, just open it, because, you know, that's how doors work. They open and they close. Anyway, I also need to thank the wonderful sponsors of the show. I could not have done this show for a year without the patrons, but also the sponsors of the program. And I met some really great families running really great businesses from the very beginning. I'm trying to go in chronological order. I'll see if I can remember. I think the first person that signed up as a sponsor was who reached out to me was Tim at Old Grouch's Military Surplus in Clyde. And he said, I want to advertise. Let's meet. Shortly after that, Chuck at Mattress Man, he called up and said, what can I do to help? And I want to support the show. Rowena Patton as well. She was like, you've been endorsing me for 8 years or so. And why stop? Let's just continue to do the endorsements. And I had Stacy Redman, photographer with Red Rocks Photography. We did a trade deal with him because he had gotten just killed from the pandemic. They shut down all the art shows, and he came on and we raffled off some of his artwork, some of his photography. Schaefer Smith, he designed the logos for the show. I'm indebted to him for that. Who else did we have? Oh, General Equipment Rental in Weaverville, the Conrad family, just wonderful people, great business. I bought my weed eater from them. I did get to use it once on the house here. I'll be taking it to Charlotte. I had also the joint Chad Eads. I was doing some advertising for the joint, not on the podcast, but Chad's been supportive of me for years now, and I thank him for that. The Balkans, Balkan Roofing, a great family again. I don't know what it is. I seem to, like, virtually all of my clients, they're, you know, multi-generation family-owned businesses that just do great stuff, and they make great products. They have great services, and they want to be a part of the show, and you guys have, you know, gone and patronized them. I get emails all the time from people who are like, hey, you know, heard about, you know, Mattress Man. We went down and bought a mattress. And I always say, like, please send me your testimonials and I'll put them into the podcast too. So I'm so grateful for everybody that's been able to help support them for supporting the show as well. And Growers Hemp as well. So yeah, all of these companies, they really, like, I'm indebted to you. I am honored that you let me be your ambassador for your brand, for your business, for your family. Because a lot, you know, as I said, these are family businesses, and to let, you know, some guy on the radio talk about them, there's always a risk there. I could say something that people then target these businesses for, you know, but they've always wanted to be a part of the show, and I appreciate that. And again, I'm honored that you would let me be a part of your operation and to be an ambassador for your company and your family. And I will say this also, a lot of people never get to know what kind of impact that they have. And I got to be honest, a lot of people working in, I will speak for myself. It's very hard sometimes to realize the impact that you have when you essentially sit in a room and talk to walls, right? You get some feedback, obviously, every now and again. You get it on social media and you can watch the numbers, but you kind of get disconnected from people. And I always try to keep in mind how I'm talking to people, because when you're hearing this, when you're listening, right, you're driving down the car, driving down the road in the car, or you're walking, or you're doing stuff around the house, or maybe you're working out because you're a better person than me. But so you're doing these things and you're listening to me. And I always try to keep that in mind, that I'm talking to a person, right? Because I am. But it's hard. It's hard to always remember that. Okay? Like, you got to kind of keep that in your mind at all times. And, you know, when you start doing this for long enough, you start wondering, is this, you know, you're making any kind of a difference and all that. Maybe that's just me, self-doubt or something, but you do kind of wonder what kind of impact you're having. And so the messages and the comments from people over the last week have just been overwhelmingly supportive. I appreciate it. The people who have not been supportive are basically just sad that we're leaving. And I understand that as well. And I know where that's coming from. And I appreciate that as well. And I wish I could, you know, I wish I could do both. I really do. I wish I could be in both places. But I'm hoping that this is going to be able to kind of keep everybody together. And I hope we are successful at that. But I understand why people are sad with this news. But the vast majority of people have been really, really supportive, and they've said the nicest things about me and Christy, and the work that, you know, that I've done, and that, you know, Christy has, you know, suffered with me to do. And so I just pulled this. I got just two quick messages that I wanted to read that kind of, I think, sum up. This first one, this is from Juanita, and I think she sums up pretty well what a lot of the messaging, the comments and emails that I've gotten have captured. She says, who would have guessed? She says, I'm so happy for you and Christy. Now, who would have guessed that being just a podcaster would turn out so well? She says, actually, most of us would have guessed that. As all the other patrons will advise, make sure their offer is legally binding, maybe with a golden parachute. It might be harder to back out if they have broadcast it, though. Even Boomer was happy to have you return to the station. That was the traffic guy. He was very excited after the announcement. He was very congratulatory, I should say. It is encouraging to see someone who has worked so hard be rewarded for their diligence and honesty. Enjoy your blessings. That was the gist of most of the messaging that we got. And I appreciate everybody who took the time to write the words of support. It really means a lot. And it's because, like I said, it you do this for so long, and you know, every now and again you'll get a, you know, an attaboy, good job and all that, and it's, you know, positive reinforcement. It's good to hear that, because a lot of times, you know, I'm just doing battle on social media and I just hear how awful I am. So it's good to hear some positive stuff every now and again. So then this one I got from Lisbeth, who says, I'm really happy for you. It is well-deserved and hard-earned. I have literally listened to you since your first day on the radio in Asheville. I had a very long commute to pick up my daughter from school, and you made the trip worthwhile. I learned a lot, and so did my daughter, and we shared a lot of laughs. She loved it when you could not stop laughing and would always comment after we stopped laughing too, that, quote, Pete cracks himself up. That is true. I do. I don't know why I have this ability. I laugh at my own jokes. I've heard that's not good. But I guess in radio and podcasting world, it works. She says, I had some health problems that kept me home for a while, and listening to you almost every day was something to look forward to, and that made the day enjoyable. I was really upset with 570 when they made the ridiculous decision to cut your show. I am certain they lost a lot of listeners at that point. And to lose that local perspective and insight was a loss to the community. Of course, when you started the podcast, I tuned in right away. I have never met you, but hearing your voice almost every day for years, I have felt like you are part of my life. Well, and that's, I mean, how do you repay that? She says, I'm sure you hear that from a lot of people, but I just want you to know that your presence in my life here in Asheville has been really important to me, and you've been a positive influence on my daughter as well. So, thank you, and I wish you all the best with this move, and I will continue to listen. Charlotte is lucky to have you back. So my wish for you, if you're listening to this right now, is that you get a letter like that at some point in your life. So, thank you very much for listening, for all of the support, and we'll talk with you later, and don't break anything while I'm gone.